centuries, mankind has been fascinated with realms outside of our conscious awareness. Through a series of interviews with practitioners, guest speakers, and experts, Liberate the podcast covers all that and more, from health and holistic healing to the supernatural. We aim to educate, motivate, inspire, and liberate your consciousness. Hi, welcome to another episode of Liberate the Podcast. Today we're actually going to flip the script a little bit, and I'm going to turn the reins over to Rebecca, one of our practitioners and beautiful souls that are a part of the Liberate family, and she's actually going to, interview me. Now, what better person to do this than Rebecca, because she has her own podcast, Everyday Seeker, so she does this regularly anyway, so she probably is a better host than me, so.
I wouldn't go there.
So today, meet your host, Rebecca. You want to tell a little bit about you, and then we'll...
So I actually am the one that edits this podcast. So I work here at Liberate. I do a bunch of stuff out in the front of house. I also am a musician and astrologer, and I have my own podcast. So I kind of help them get this one up and running. I take everything and make sure the music gets put in the intro and at the end, and I put it on iTunes and I do all that stuff. But
and she was the one pulling my arm here and saying, "Wow, we need to, we've been going through a lot of the practitioners and the staff, but we haven't done yours yet."
Yeah, we haven't done yours yet, and I think that it's important because you are the seed of this whole, this is a cute little metaphor, this whole Liberate Emporium tree. It's growing so much. So I think people that are connected to Liberate Emporium are always curious about connecting with the root of the founder and the creator. And I know when I find a connection with any sort of book or teaching or place, or I'm always curious about the origins of that and who's behind it. And so I think that it's amazing that you agreed to sit in the seat today and share a little bit about that. So for everyone listening, this is Christina Dam. She's a hypnotherapist, which is just one of many hats that she wears, but she is the founder and creator of Liberate Emporium. So we are a healing center here in Los Feliz, Los Angeles. A lot of people don't realize when they walk by the shop, they're like, "Oh, it's a little crystal shop, and there's incense, and there's a healing center in the back," right? So for those of you that are already longtime listeners of the show, then you might know that. But she is a practitioner here. She has single-handedly built this place from the ground up. Now, we have a community of people that all pitch in and work together, but she is the force behind it. She is the vision behind it. So I'm just going to ask you now, what is Liberate Emporium, just to break it down, because there's so many components of what Liberate Emporium is.
Well, I guess the best answer to that is, Liberate Emporium is, the way that I look at it, an energy that is manifest into now a physical entity. But, before creating this, I always had the vision of, I love the word liberate. I love the word liberation. I was going to start a clothing line that I probably will do one at one point when I was big into fitness and things like that, that was going to be called Liberation. And my whole model behind that was education and inspiration through creation. And it always stuck with me. And, the whole dynamic of liberate is, you're taking and you're moving from one level to the next, right? It's this hierarchy of evolution. It's this step above. When you liberate somebody, you can't help but to think that you pull them out of somewhere lower and bring them up to somewhere higher, right?
Wow.
And it was, I have, people that have met me and people that will meet me in the future, the one thing that I always get is that I have a very strong childlike energy. And
yeah, it's my favorite thing about you, actually.
And so yeah. I like to play a lot, and when I dove into my own spiritual practice and looking at other centers or places or schools of thought, I found that the one thing about anything, and in dealing with regular therapy, which is my background, I was a regular therapist first and stuff like that, but is to play, to not take life so serious, and to, even when you're in the most difficult moments and the darkest moments, how can you find laughter and joy in there? How can you know that it's just part of the journey, that it's not the end of the world, it's not the end of a situation, it's a wrench that got thrown in, but it doesn't mean that you can't play. And for years prior to being here, I worked at rehab centers. I would teach classes, and one of the big communities that I worked with was people that would, for a long time, I would do classes and stuff for people that got DUIs, and it was an outpatient program that people were mandated to go to. So now I'm sitting here having mandated people having to come into this class that they don't want to come into, and I'm supposed to tell them something about life, you know? And the premise of that was really teaching about right brain, left brain balance, and how to find joy and laughter and fun and bring more right brain emotions, which your right brain, for those that don't know, is your creative, imaginative, it's your feelings, it's your emotions, it's that whole picture type of perspective. And where is your left brain is very analytical, reasoning, judgmental. It's the part of you that is really kind of thinking about the future, analyzing the past. The right brain's in the moment. So it's like, how can you bring more of the in the moment and fun within every day so that you can enjoy life more, so then people aren't escaping as much. Grabbing the bottle.
Right.
And so when Liberate Emporium came into the place, confession, Mr. Megorium's or whatever, Toy Emporium, you know, like that movie, that Emporium, I liked that because it embodied fun. To me, it was play.
Right.
And it was how can we take this quote-unquote serious thing of liberating some person's life or situation or circumstance, but still add a level of fun and approachability to it and play. And so that's how the name came about.
Right. Well, now this is maybe perhaps a bit more of a personal question, but how did you come to have that perspective of understanding how important fun and lightheartedness is? Because that seems like it would have been one of your own, either a wisdom that you were born with or like a lesson that you had to learn. I mean, and I should say too for the listeners, Christina's extremely young. So the fact that you were a regular therapist and then a hypnotherapist, and now, you know, you're also a pranic healer, you're a shop owner, like a businesswoman, you're a writer, you've got all these other things. Like, you've lived 1,000 lifetimes almost, it seems like, in this one, because you have so many things popping off all the time. So I'm just kind of curious. It seems like a lot has happened to get you to this point.
Which so. I think I know. And this is about, you know, really looking at life, you know, the cliche, you know, life throws you lemons, make lemonade, you know.
Right.
It's the circumstances that people have to go through in life are sometimes their biggest gifts. And so as a child, I was severely ill. I had an autoimmune disease. I mean, I still do, but I like mask that with a lot of natural health, and I'm not on medicine. But they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and I lived a large part of the time in the hospital. So I was constantly sick. So when I felt even, I learned that I had to make the best out of a situation if I wanted to, you know, and think about like a little kid, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, like, you know, if you wanted to experience something fun, if there was a school field trip or something like that. And I mean, I have memories of like, there was like a camping trip, and I was so sick that I was like puking off the side of the canoe when I'm like, you know, 10 years old or whatever, but I wanted to go, and I knew that I'm always sick anyways. So, you know, I have to try to make the best out of it. And I think that, you know, having such like adversity in my health, And problems with whether I felt, you know, good, I constantly was making the best out of situations. And I valued the time when I felt good.
Right.
And I think that got carried into, you know, adulthood and the level of fun and the level of play. I think that that's probably where it came from.
Also, you are a lot healthier now. I mean, you still have some health challenges and...
Yeah, we all do.
You know, but maybe you're making up for a bit of lost time too, right?
Yeah.
Like all that stuff that you didn't, you know, get to enjoy when you were a kid.
Yeah, wow. And so I think that also pushed me to want to do more at a more rapid pace.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you know, if I felt good for, you know, a little bit, I would have to push through to get that project done or to do that thing. And like, you know, so it was like these short spouts. Like,
yeah,
you gotta get it done now.
You're one of the most ambitious people I've ever met. Like, at any given moment, you have, like, I mean, more projects on the go and more, and like, and each one of them you're so passionate about, like, so excited about, like, each project you have. So, for Liberate Emporium, we are a healing center. We offer many different healing modalities. We are a shop also. We're working very hard on having an online shop because we want to offer, we want to have everything that we offer available to anyone, anywhere in the world, ultimately. But what is the vision of where you, what's the mission of Liberate Emporium? So you talked about it being, you know, a lighthearted environment and a place of healing,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just curious if we can,
you know,
elaborate a bit.
Without getting into like a cliche, like mission statement of a business or whatnot, you know, the more on the vision of where I see this going is really establishing spirituality and hope back into the hearts of millions of people. And through the aid of bringing different cultures and belief systems and merging them and bringing them into accessibility to the masses, is I want to take what has been for a large portion of its history. You know, the spiritual movement is becoming more mainstream now, but for a long time it was, you know, people either gravitated to an allocated religion, and then there's a few outliers that wanted to gravitate to a belief system but didn't maybe resonate with the rules or the regulations or the of a certain religion.
Right.
And then now, though, you have the separation, I think, for the biggest separation people have from belief systems and history. And it's in having something to believe in, too, that really gives us the motivation to continue life, gives us meaning in life. And I think now more than ever with what is going on in the world, people need something to grab a hold of. And the beautiful thing is every religion, you know, Hindu, Buddhism, Catholicism, Judaism, like they all have these beautiful nuggets of teachings and lessons and benefits that, you know, maybe you don't have to follow one, but you can take those beliefs and you can take those artifacts and you can take those symbolisms and now allow for the person, the average person, to just have something without having to call it or name it or claim it.
Yeah. One of the things that I've, that's been just impossible to miss for me, because I'm in the front lines, I'm out in the front of the shop, and I greet everyone that comes in for their healing sessions, and I also greet everyone that comes into the shop, whether they're looking for incense or whatever they're looking for, is it became really apparent to me a few months ago when we were hosting a full moon ritual in the shop, and people were, this is a place of refuge for people, similar to how maybe a particular religious building may have been in the past and still is for some people, but like people were coming into us like we were a church, and they were coming in looking for something that they couldn't get anywhere else, and it's a universal acceptance. Like I felt, I just kind of stood in awe as I watched you and Doreen like saging people and just holding space for them when they came in with whatever they needed help with. And so, of course, full moons tend to be like really intense energetically. So we had like a lot of people in the shop that day. But it's that way on a daily basis when people are coming in here. And there are a lot of other shops in the world, and specifically in LA, that have, you know, spiritual merchandise, and they offer readings and spiritual counseling. But one thing that also always struck me was how you would speak about how you wanted to be more than just offer more than just readings, right? So yeah. It's really important for us to have a healing center and be able to offer healings as well.
Like in the beginning, you know, when I first opened, I slowly started to add readings probably pretty quickly after I opened. But when I opened, I do hypnotherapy and energy healing,
right?
You know, and so I don't do readings. Do I know how to do readings? Can I channel? Yeah. But that's not necessarily something that I do. Do I see the value in them? Yeah. I think that they can give people guidance and clarity and insight. But, you know, the mission had always been how to create more of a healing and transformation. And even if somebody is getting a reading, it's not about just sharing information. It's helping somebody move beyond and assimilate the information that they're given and to kind of help them forge a path into the way that they want to go.
Right, so it's action-oriented.
It's action-orientated. I want the reading to be very, you know, empowering, uplifting, for work to be done, for, you know, healings to be done, even in the midst of whether they're getting, you know, a clairvoyant or a tarot reading, or whether they're, you know, getting a healing on a table. It doesn't matter, that I want a healing to occur, you know,
right.
and to liberate somebody above. And so where I see that going is that, you know, I would love to, you know, and as we're working on, expand, you know, I think we have a cute little place that we have here, but opening maybe a couple other locations that are a little bigger that could maybe serve as that community refuge. I don't know that I would ever classify this place as a church, but almost as the same mm-hmm. feeling of it, where you could come in and you could hear, you know, maybe morning, it could be a place that people come for to hear some kind of lecture on the challenges of spirituality or this or that, or life lessons, and, you know, more along the lines of a school. And I've shared this with you before, Rebecca, but like I always had the vision of creating the U University,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where it was more than just spirituality, but also practicality, right? You know, like
sure.
finance classes and this and business, that, you know, all the stuff that we can be that stress us out in our everyday life, that keep us from being our divine light, you know? Like if people knew better how to budget and take care of their financial like obligations, and they were on top of things, maybe they wouldn't stress when it came to, you know, the end of the month or when they had bills that were due or whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, we have a little adorable little dog named Piggy in here
Piggy.
With us, and she's keeping us company. She's digging at one of the pillows on the massage table here, so... Yeah, I mean, you have quite the vision for the future, because there's huge, huge ideas, and even the stuff that you do as a writer really has a deeper message. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about any of your projects or if they're top secret, but I know that as a writer, you've written several scripts that have extremely spiritual messages, as well as being lighthearted and fun, and so you basically... are just inspired to kind of bring joy and excitement and elevation and liberation to a whole bunch of different people.
Yeah, and we'll see, you know, like I guess I will share the one that's tied into this in particular is that, let's just say, very soon into the future, maybe you'll see a sitcom and people can, you know, kind of critique that all they want, but, you know, I think that there's different levels of entryway into awareness, and that even if you make fun of some of the things that we might take seriously, it still brings that awareness to it and starts to shift, you know, and it's all done in fun and love and enjoyment yeah. and laughter, but it makes the person that maybe doesn't understand what a burning ritual is in Middle America have the ability to watch it, and even if it's done in a, you know, comedic way.
Right, well, it just to make things accessible, because, like, this is one of the things I always think, too, is everyone... a lot of people in the New Age are always wanting to ascend and go higher. And I'm like, well, we're still in the third dimension, and that's God too.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, even for people that walk into the shop, that aren't looking for readings and healings, and they just want to buy incense, or most of the time they just come in because they like how it feels in the shop. And there's, no matter where somebody is or how deep they want to go, there's something, like, there's no judgment here. So if you, you know, creating the sitcom and just like being in popular culture, being in the world,
yeah,
is like quite a spiritual mission, you know, like an extremely spiritual mission, because it's reality. It's not trying to escape from anything. That's actually like, we're here, and it's all
yeah,
divine. It's all divinity.
We're the real life Hogwarts.
Yes, we so are.
It's and that's where I want us to get to, is like, you know, maybe that dynamic of a huger space and location. And also, you know, I mentioned just casually, but importing and bringing in spiritual artifacts from all different types of cultures and religions and places in the world, and having that like imported, authentic, good quality, you know, and where you're like, all of these belief systems are very valid, and all of these tools might speak to other people. And so, you know, whether somebody's picking up worry dolls from Guatemala and they're giving it to their kid, or they're using it themselves and they're teaching them, okay, now you tell the worry to the little doll and you put it underneath your pillow at night, and, you know, the doll will take that worry away while you sleep. I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of whether the person that you believe that the doll is having anything to do with that or not, this is a simple act of doing it and speaking your worry and letting it leave you is having a healing effect.
Yeah. It's love. It's love. It's a demonstration of love.
I always tell people, you know, like when they come in and they want to buy a candle or something like that, and they're like, well, does this really, you know, have this magic hooey-wooey stuff on it? Will this really work? And, you know, it's like, okay, you can either believe that it's connecting into the angelic realms and the different assistants, and that you're being supported, and that's actually a direct channel. And even if you don't at all, the sheer notion and the science behind, if you put an intention out there and every time you see that candle, you're reminded of that intention, you're starting to reprogram your unconscious mind and you're starting to create for that to manifest in reality. Bottom line, you know, go see a movie. You're going to see billboards for the movie everywhere. Want to buy a new car and you look at that kind of car, you're going to suddenly be driving next to them everywhere you go. And it's
that
like,
that is insanely true, by the way.
And so if you light a candle and you hold that belief system, you know, either way, no matter what somebody's belief system is, either way it works.
Yeah. I mean, not to detract, but I just want to give an example of that, because there's this book, E-Squared by Pam Grout, that even talks about these types of people doing experiments to verify what you just said. And one of the experiments was to look for a color car, like, that's not super common. So just to look for it, because it's neutral, so you don't have any emotional attachment to it, so you're not pushing it away with wanting it to happen so bad. And I picked a pink car because I like a challenge. And it took me so long to see this car because I was so attached to seeing it. And then once I let it go and forgot about it, I started seeing pink cars everywhere I went, like real pink cars. Then one guy moved into my neighborhood and parked it in front of my house every day. And I was just like, you gotta be kidding me, like, because it's not that easy to see these things. And so the power of the subconscious mind is huge, and I know you deal with that a lot, because hypnotherapy is, I don't know if we would say it's your primary modality, that's what it seems like here at the shop, your sort of chosen method at this point for helping others heal, although you do pranic healing as well. But you gave a really powerful community workshop on that, hypnotherapy recently, and maybe you'll be even offering certifications for that at some point. That's all speculation, but...
We actually, you know, speculation aside, we will start to, you know, as we create this into a more feel of school and energy around even broadening our courses, we will be starting to... do certifications for other things as well. So certification for NLP, which is neurolinguistic programming, certification for hypnotherapy, certification for, you know, astrology or this or that, when we find the right people and the right fits. And, you know, the only thing that has why it's not hasn't happened yet, as Rebecca had said, you know, I have a few other businesses and projects. so this is like my I mean, they're all my hearts, they're all my passions, but yeah. You know, I really love it all, and I'm honored and blessed. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we all struggle with our dark days and, you know, dark nights of the soul, and, you know, me too. But, you know, I'm really fascinated by all the elements of life and what you can do. And I think seeing clients for years, I mean, I must have seen over 10,000 hypnotherapy clients, if not more, different individuals, how many times I've seen them, then, right. You know, I'm talking in the hundreds of thousands of sessions here. I mean, over a period of 10 years or so, you know, like, it boils down, you know, but every client you're working on, you're reprogramming your own mind, too.
Wow, that's deep.
And so every issue,
you're getting a healing every time
every
you're giving
issue,
one.
You know, and so I started to, you know, have my own limitations and thoughts and things like that. But I think one of the only reasons I'm as ambitious as I am is I don't see the ceiling.
Right.
I don't see that something can't be done. I'm blindly ignorant.
You have Jupiter in the first house, says the astrology nerd. I'm like, you're huge vision. It's amazing.
But it drives Rebecca crazy, though.
No,
I want to do 15 things at once, and then nothing gets done.
No, but it doesn't drive me crazy. I will say that I'm like more of a single focused person. But that is your brilliance, and I've said that to you before. Is you have the space for all of that, which is like the gift, because we wouldn't have this place if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it is really, really special. And I am curious, because you shared a few minutes ago about being sick when you were a kid and how that has really impacted how you use your time and your whole perspective on life and what's important to you. But there's a lot of other people that may not have found a spiritual path quite like yours, just based on an experience like that. You have a very profound, deep spirituality that's sort of very open and accepting, of course, because you've created this place here, which is room for everybody, all creeds, all people from all walks of life. But can I ask a little bit about how you found your own spiritual path, or how you would describe your own personal spiritual path, your own personal spirituality?
Well, you know, I think I've always been curious on many different fronts.
Yeah.
But I would say that I was that spiritual, at all growing up. I mean, we got raised in a very Catholic, family. Like most of my sisters all went to private Catholic school. I didn't, I went to public school. And you know, so I mean, my parents were very close with the priest, and he would come over for dinner, and you know, like it was like that kind of thing. And I think, you know, for those that are listening, I'm gay, youngest of six girls in my family, and I'm, you know, just a little different. And not that like my family has fully rejected me or anything like that, it's not the case, but I think just being a little bit different and having a curiosity for yourself and diving in led me to probably studying psychology. And I also have a sister that's mentally ill. She suffers from dissociated identity disorder. Most people know that as multiple personalities. So she's been in and out of institutions and, you know, battles with that. And so the curiosity to also study psychology was embedded in that. But I went with the study of psychology, and I did major in psychology, minor in biology for my undergrad. Mm-hmm. So science based, not spiritual based. And
yeah.
So, when, you know, it wasn't until, I was out in California, and my oldest sister's out here too, and she would drag me to some Kundalini yoga classes, and that started to like awaken. I remember like my arm froze one day and it really freaked me out and I couldn't move it, and the energy, and it was undeniable. And I don't know if this was before or after, but I did this like soul searching journey where I got a one-way ticket and I went to Europe, and I was just trying to find myself. And in my exploration between countries and different places, and I had joined a tour group for a little bit of time, and I went on a couple different voyages in that to some places that maybe I wouldn't have decided to go to, but I went, and some of them were spiritual places, like going to see the baby Jesus of Prague, and
wow.
and all of these, you know, and doing, you know, a cathedral tour within Florence, Italy, and you know, and I had all of these places that I went and I experienced, and I remember I had a couple of really weirdly profound things that happened that were kind of trippy. And some of the people
like
that I was
so
one of them, I was traveling with this Aussie guy. He was hanging out with me, and we were like, we're camping at this like campsite. Like it reminded me of the campground that you stay in as kids. I mean, they had cabins, so you weren't sitting in tents, but that's where, you know, sometimes, you know, saving money, you know. So so we went to this church, and it, like, I had this like weird experience happen that I can't really explain, but I felt like this divine energy coming through me, and like I was like weirdly, like almost went into a hypnotic trance is what I would say now. And if this guy, he kind of freaked out, and he was like atheist and didn't believe in anything. And he was just like, I don't know what's going on. And it was just like, some people came up to me, and it was just really weird. Like, I don't have, my memory has been a little weird lately, but there was that. And we talked about it at the campfire that night. And he was telling the story while he's having drinks. And he's like, I don't know. I think I believe in God now, because I don't know what the hell happened, you know? And
right.
So there was that. And the one that sticks out to me the most was when I went to see baby Jesus of Prague. So you've been before this place where the baby Jesus was, and I started to just bawl hysterically. I bent down and kneeled, and I started to bawl hysterically. I couldn't open my eyes, and I heard, it's time to do what you meant to do. And then I like almost like was like, what are you talking about? And then the words were something along the lines, you had enough time, it's time to get into action. And wow. I'm like, who the hell is talking to me? You know, and what's going on? But I couldn't also avoid the thing. And this was after the church experience. And so then I come back shortly after that. Maybe I spent another month over there. I don't know how long I was over there. And that, after that, it led me into studying hypnotherapy, which then I dived deeper into all different types of energy healing, studying Reiki and pranic healing, and getting into, you know, bars and different things, like all different things. Not the traditional access bars, but there's a different one that Eric Burns or whatever, his modality. And then looking at all of this other stuff and being fascinated, taking tarot classes and Akashic Record classes, and you know, I mean, pretty much you name it, I've studied it. And I fell down a wormhole, and then that's where I led.
Yeah, that's incredible. I actually never knew that about you, so I'm so glad that you asked. That's really fascinating, just because one does not simply open a spiritual center, healing center, just because.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there has to have been like, you know, a series of events that prompted such deep, profound work, because this is like your, you know, among your life's work, because I know that you're also, your personal spiritual mission also involves being a writer. And that's very important to you as well. And that's also, it's interesting because that's also affecting people spiritually and filling them up. with joy in sort of a different but the same way that they're going to be fulfilled when they may come here seeking healing treatments.
Creating projects to change the world. I don't know. Like, it feels like it's something greater than me. Like, it's not even, like, me anymore, you know? It's like, I mean, it's me because it's me, but it's not me, you know, like... I have a tech company that will launch soon, and having people be more connected to nature and the world and travel more, and hopefully so that they become more aware of the world, they can take care of the world. And then that has, you know, a cartoon series and a feature film franchise that teaches kids about, you know, one, you know, the world, because it's animation and live action, but it's also teaches kids about the power of their minds and belief systems, you know, not getting into too much, you know, but it's about, I can't stop.
You're doing the spiritual work through the entertainment business.
Yeah.
In addition to having actually owning a healing center and shop too. That's powerful because everyone is, but not very many people are aware that they're doing it. So you're very consciously acting as a healer in the creative field in the world.
But it's
powerful.
But it's, you know, again, it's a force figure. You know, I can't help but to think that those voices, whatever that is, that, you know, they're helping me, you know, and guiding me. And, you know, that's where if people hear me talk, like I often like will still bring the skepticism of the scientific approach back into it. So like even in saying that, I'm justifying that, you know, in looking at. You know, well, that's, somebody can say, well, you're motivated, you have this, but then I look at the connection instead of just saying, you know.
Yeah, you have a science background. You have a well-functioning rational mind. And then also, like, the understanding that there is something bigger based on personal experience, you know?
Yeah, there's something. And what that is exactly, we're still, you know, but there's something. And there's something for all of us. And there's the same fire that can be lit into everybody to, you know, live and be and do, you know, their life work and their missions, and that might change from one year to the next, and that's fine too, you know. But and that's what hopefully this space is about, is connecting people back to their self so that they can be free to be their self. Because I think the number one issue that I've seen throughout the years is people's inability to be their self. So you know, they have to do this or act this way, or they're worried about this person thinks for their parents' approval or whatever. Even, I mean, older people like it. It doesn't matter. And so everybody's living within a shell of their self instead of actually being their self. And if they can step in and be free, you know, we just, you know, we can have everybody be happier, more well-rounded, positive. And if you're free and you love yourself... I've never seen somebody that's super happy and authentically love themselves be mean to another person.
Yeah, neither have I, actually.
It's the bullies in school that dislike themselves the most that are the most critical, right? So imagine if we could create a world where people feel free to be their true self. Would there be war going on? Would there be hatred? Or could we have understanding of differences in religion or beliefs? Could we settle arguments over territories or resources? Could we come to some kind of conclusion instead of blowing up bombs and putting gas on children? You know, like, this doesn't have to be. But people are so out of touch with their identity that's what we're breeding is this world of that people would rather kill each other over a fucking iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, like, really? An inanimate object that got sold to you for marketing and propaganda that you may or may not, you know, really need? Yeah. Let's have everybody have 10, you know, 10 of this and 2 of that and 4 of that. For what? You know, and when you find that acceptance and happiness, you find that you need less to prove yourself to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just like, this is like, I'm so excited that we got here in this interview, because I think that's so powerful. And that's like your personal it seems to be like one of your personal deepest understandings of God or the divine or what that is, and to just wanting to bring everything back in, and then also like what you want to do in the world to help everybody else do that.
Yeah, you know, and animals.
And animals with Piggy and Chewy, our store angel for angels / mascots here. Yeah. Wow, that is extremely powerful. It's interesting because I was talking with Paul, one of the other practitioners here, or maybe it was Paul and Julian this morning before you came in, just about how it may or may not, it may be different for each person what brings them back in. Mm-hmm. Which is like part of like the openness of this whole environment and why you have so many different projects going on, because yeah. that's how you reach so many different people. Yeah. But you reach them by being your authentic self too and being connected to who you are. So one of the things I always do on my podcast actually is ask everyone if they had one piece of one message to share with others today. What that might be. And so I know that there's a lot that you just said, but if there's one thing that you would want people listening to this right now to hear today.
I guess piggybacking on what I just said is that, you know, we all have, you know, to allow yourself, give yourself permission to be you. Who else are you waiting for? What time are you waiting to do the things that you wanted? I always look at that people have these passions, these desires, these things that they say one day, and they put it off to the side and say one day when I have more time, when I have more money, when I have more resources, when I have more freedom, when I have more whatever, when I'm older, when the kids are older, when this happens, or whatever the case may be. And it's a valuable nugget of something that brings you tremendous joy and happiness. You know, it doesn't have to be something that is like a business that you do. It could be a hobby that you want to explore. You might always say, like, one day I'm going to study martial arts, and one day I'm gonna, you know, it's one day I'm gonna hike every hiking trail in Los Angeles. It's these things that like make your heart sing, which is the true you. But what we've done as a society and individuals is we move it over to the side of our head, and we say, out of our vision, and we say, yeah, it's off over to the side. And somehow it gets stuffed in the back. But I challenge people to look and say, what is that one thing that makes your heart sing more than anything else? And that one thing that you've been looking forward to being able to have, whatever that X time, money, resources, availability, whatever that is, and pull it to the front and take action. You know, one of the ways to change is just by doing. And say, okay, so what do I have to do for this? And don't mind that little monkey mind voice will come in, and then it'll say, but I can't do this, or I don't know if I can afford to this, or I don't know how I'm going to be able to take off time for work to go over to, you know, South Africa, or I don't know what, you know. I don't care.
Or what if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't work out? The perfectionism is the worst.
I guarantee if you take a couple steps forward, magic will happen. And if you just start planning and doing, you know, you're taking and you're doing your big bucket list item today, not one day. And that's going to allow you to get more on your everyday true self and let go of all of the rattle. And I think that if that's one thing people can start to do.
Priorities.
Speaking of priorities, most people live their life with no time for themselves and everybody else, whether it's other friends, family, career stuff, workplace stuff. Everybody has all of these other priorities that they make more important than themselves. But it's their life, not anybody else's life, that they're living through their eyes and their mind and their body. It's not somebody else's. So why not prioritize and put you? It's not saying that you're lacking on those priorities. It's not saying that you don't want to do those things. It's just rather saying, okay, what can I do for me each and every day to show that I'm important?
Yeah. No, I mean, exactly. So, like, you are the priority. Sorry, we have some fun little puppies in here doing some cute little snorting. not sure what smells so good all of a sudden, but they seem to be prioritizing what's going on outside the door.
So but, I guess that's a good place to wrap up.
Yeah,
then.
No, exactly. Is there anything else you wanted to share that you didn't get a chance to speak on?
No, I mean, I think I would love to do something on hypnotherapy one day,
yeah.
And the power of your unconscious mind and your belief systems. But for today, you know, if there's anything else you think otherwise.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit more about your own personal journey and your personal vision and who you are personally, because like you are the driving force behind all of this, behind the podcast, behind, you know, the crystal shop, the healing center. She's the one that has put this whole thing together and is the reason that so many people are able to come and find sustenance and whatever it is that they're looking for, or maybe find to go in and find a little bit more of who they are and have the space there to do that. So I think a lot of people are going to be happy to know a little bit more about where that came from and about the seed that grew all this. So thanks, aww. Christina.
Thank you, Rebecca.
She's available for hypnotherapy sessions. So if you're in Los Angeles, and we have a whole roster of amazing practitioners here at the shop also that do distant healing work and distant counseling sessions. Christina does coaching, counseling, all of that kind of stuff as well. And so you can check us out at liberateemporium.com. Also, if you are listening on iTunes or any of the other apps, we just really appreciate if you can leave us a review, because without reviews, we don't show up in anybody's searches. So we just want to be found. We want to, you know, be able to share more
and,
with
and
the bigger community.
And we want to hear your feedback so we can direct where we take the podcast to.
Exactly, as well. So, yeah, please connect with us, you know, say hi on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. We actually really do love to kind of see and connect with all of you guys as well. So thanks so much, Christina. And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll check you guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.